Spirit, move on me. By your anointing, set me free. Pour out new wine on this thirsty heart of mine. Come, Holy Spirit, move on me.
Sing it to the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, move on me. Pour out new wine on this thirsty heart of mine. Come, Holy Spirit, move on me.
One more time, sing it to the Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit, move on me.
Shadows in the light of you.
is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you.
That song says, the reason I live is to worship you. God created us for his pleasure, and we were created to give him glory and honor, not just in the things we say, but in the way we live and in our communication in every area of our lives. We worship you, dear Lord. I have titled this message today, Under the Shadow of the Almighty. Under the Shadow of the Almighty. What a wonderful place to be if we're under that presence and the shadow of the Almighty. Let us bow our heads to pray as I begin this message. Lord, I thank you that you are here and that you anoint our ears to receive, but our hearts also to receive. Anoint our minds, O Lord, to receive the things that you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that truly we were created to worship you, and that is our purpose in life. And I pray, Lord, that you will meet every need of those that are here in the congregation and those who are in the listening audience, wherever they are, that you will let them become worshipers of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I heard something on National Geographic the other day that I thought was interesting. And I just caught a bit of it. I can't tell you exactly the species of fish, but there was a huge fish, they say, in the ocean that routinely, the way it collects its prey and gets its food is it causes chaos around, and the smaller fish are confused, and they will clump together. This huge fish will put the fins, and it flap its tail, and it makes chaos. What kind? The killer whale. Okay, Joshua was listening. The killer whale. And he causes chaos for the smaller fish. It makes his prey easy to get. And I think about that in relationship to our world today. Satan wants to cause chaos in our world. He wants to make people confused because the prey is easier for him to attack. And as these fish become confused, this killer whale can come in and he swoops them all up while they're focused on their fear and the chaos that's been created. I think that it's interesting that I also talked to someone this week, and he was telling me, he said, you know, the things that you talk about, and I was doing some witnessing talking to him, and he said, the things that you talk about, they were for Bible times. They don't really relate to us today. They were for another time. Well, I want to tell you something that is a lie from Satan. God's word applies to us today. Everything in the word of God, it is absolutely alive and it applies to us. I used to think when I was a kid, I thought, boy, you know, the promises that God gave to the Jewish people are so terrific. They're great. If I could only be a Jewish girl, I could receive all of these promises. Well, let me tell you, they are for you and they are for me. God says in his word, he says, I am that I am, because he never changes. The word that he spoke in the Old Testament, the words that he prophesied through his prophets, it was because it is true for the I am right now for our situation. And so I thank God that there are words that we can grasp hold of that are applicable to our lives today. Amen. The promises God gave to Israel are for us because we've been grafted into the seed of Abraham. In Galatians, the third chapter, verses 6 through 8 and 26 through 29, Abraham, it says there, believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you know that it is important that we have faith and that we believe the word of God when we grasp hold of it? And then we go on, it says, understand that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. He was a type. Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice. It was a type of the crucifixion. But it was a foretelling of what would happen. All nations, he said, will be blessed through you. God gave that promise to Abraham, not just the Jewish people, but all nations, he said. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is the key element. If you have been accepted Christ, then you become an heir of all of the blessings that God has promised. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I looked at this as I selected the topic for my message today, or this message. It just kept going over and over in Psalm, the 91st chapter, where it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If there were ever a time that we need to dwell in that secret place or have the shadow of the Almighty over us, it is today. And so I asked the question, and many people have said, well, what is the secret place? Where is that secret place? And I thought about it. Where is the secret place? Some of us have a place we go, and it's known by others that that's our prayer closet. But there is a secret place that no one knows except you and God. And that secret place is in the mind. In the mind. No one else knows what's in your mind. When God created Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He received the logic and the thought. When the Most High fills our mind, we are under the shadow of the Almighty. When he is all that's in our mind, when we dwell on him within our mind, then we are under the shadow. And Israel was shadowed by two mountains as they faced the Red Sea. They had a mountain on one side and the other side, and it seemed to them to be obstacles. They could not turn back. They could only go forward. Sometimes we are placed in that same type of circumstance. We think that that shadow sometimes that God is protecting us with is an obstacle, when really God is protecting us by His presence and His shadow. There may be some shadows that will not bring relief from the scorching attacks of Satan, but the shadow of the Almighty is a sure protection. I remember as a child, I used to go with my mother on the mail route, delivered a rural route, and, you know, we got shoes. There were many children, and we lived in pretty severe circumstances financially. And I remember that we got a pair of shoes, a good pair of shoes. My father believed in buying good shoes for his children, and I hated those ugly shoes that he bought. But he bought good shoes, but we got them when school was to begin at the beginning of the year. So in the summer months, when I went with my mother on that mail delivery route, I was barefoot. And I'd be running down the street, and there would be what looked like a shadow, or it looked like perhaps a pond, a little bit of water, and I would run just as fast as I could run, and it would disappear. The closer I got, and it would disappear. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we look at and we say, wow, this is going to give me the comfort that I'm looking for. And we run after that, but it's a mirage. It is not real. But I'm telling you that the shadow of the Almighty is absolutely certain, and it is real. It will not go away. If you dwell on the presence of God and He is in your mind and you keep Him at your thoughts, then those will not be mirages, that God will overshadow us. He says, David said there, and David wrote this Psalm 91, and you say, well, David was a man that, well, it says that he was a man after God's heart. There are reasons that he was a man after God's heart. He wasn't because he was never a man who sinned. He certainly did. He committed some awful sins, but he had God still in the secret place of his mind and his heart. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. What is a refuge? It's a shelter, a place where I am sheltered. It's protection. And that is what God is to us. When we're in this difficult time right now, we have a refuge. We have a shelter. A fortress is like a sanctuary city. You know, a sanctuary city is a place where the enemy cannot come in. No one can come in. If you are guilty of something, you are safe even in that sanctuary city. And so that is like a place of protection, a fortress. When I'm snared by, and then he said, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You know, sometimes we're snared by the enemy. Snared, and I think it's interesting, a hunter, when even an animal that is hunting a prey, they watch where they go, the trail that they take day by day. We have things in our lives that routinely we do. And the enemy comes against us knowing that that is the very place where he can entrap us and he can tear us down. But you know, God will give us a place. He says he'll deliver us even when we are pulled aside and when the enemy traps us. Sometimes we get trapped, but he is our deliverer. And it says, and from the perilous pestilence he keeps us. He shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I've been told that, and I just heard this. I can't prove it. I didn't look it up. But I understand that JFK changed the term buckler in some of the statements. He changed that terminology to mean Secret Service. Secret Service. And I thought, wow, that's kind of like the Lord is our buckler, a Secret Service, a group of, do you know how many Secret Service people are protecting the president? You can't begin to get close. I heard a man say that he was in a congregation where the president was there, and he wanted to go up and shake hands with the president. And he took off to go, and Somebody stepped out, and a Secret Service man, he said, "Sir, there are about 150 guns pointed right at your head now. Do you want to continue? You better back off." And I think, what a protection. God says He's got a Secret Service that is protecting us from the enemy. Well, the man wasn't an enemy, but what could be the enemy? And so I am glad that God cares that much. He says, you should not be afraid of the terror by night. There are things that are in the dark, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Even what you can see coming, you don't be afraid of it, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Joshua, you don't even have to be afraid of a scorpion. I have to tell you that. He's upstairs in his room, his bedroom, and I hear him screaming, "Mom, Mom," and I'm in my part of the house. And I came out there, and he's running down the stairs. He said, "Mom, there's a scorpion in my room." I said, "Did you kill it?" And he said, "No." I said, "What is wrong with you that you would run from a scorpion?" You know, and he said, "Well, I'm terrified of them." Anyway, long story short, eventually we found the creature. But God says you don't have to be afraid of anything in the daytime or in the night. He said, "I'm there. I'm watching over you." He said, 1,000 may fall at your side or 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I know you may be saying, "I don't understand this," because there are people that get sick and they're Christians and they trust the Lord. Yes, we have things that happen to us, but doesn't mean that it takes us out. It means that God is on our side. In Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse 17, there the prophet said, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." That's what God says. No weapon formed against thee will prosper. And in Psalm, the 91st chapter, I go on, it says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge," David said, "this is the reason we have the protection. Because you have made the Lord your refuge." He is the one that you have made Him your God. And He's the one that you keep in your mind, and you worship Him in your thoughts, in your activities, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You have Him living in you. "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." The angels, the Secret Service, they're there watching out for you. "And in their hands they shall bear you up, just in case you dash your foot against a stone." So you might come and dash your foot, but the angels are there to sweep you up. "You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the big beast that looks so scary and the one that is crawling around. You're going to be triumphant. You'll trample them underfoot." He says, "Because He, God's child, has set His love upon me." This is He has set His love upon me, God. I have chosen to love Him, to make Him the Lord of my life. I've chosen to keep Him in my mind, in my spirit. Let Him envelop me. I remember that I was facing a surgery. I think I was 27 years old. And the boss told me, she said, "Naomi, whatever you do, don't let them come in when you're in recovery. Tell the doctors, you don't want anybody in there during recovery, but you, because you will tell your whole life. You'll tell everything, every secret." I said, "I don't have anything that I know of. I don't know anything that I could tell." But you see, there are secrets some people keep hidden and bundled up. But the Lord wants to be in that secret place. He wants all of those things that have kept us in bondage to be taken from out of our lives, so He can thoroughly and completely possess us. And He says, the one that puts his heart upon Him and serves Him, and he says, "I will exalt him because he has known my name." He has trusted in me. He'll call on me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and I'll honor him. How in the world could you want any more honor than that? They talk about giving a child a sense of self-esteem in the school system. Where else can you get such great self-esteem than what God gives to us? Whenever we love him and make him the center of our lives, it says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. David knew about this secret place of the Most High. He knew the prophet Nathan came to him and said, you have sinned. David did not deny it. He said, I have sinned. And he repented. God wants us to do the same. He says that he will deliver us when we get trapped in a place that we should not have taken, trapped by the enemy, but we have to be open before God and give it to him. In 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verses 5 and 6, David had been running from Saul. You see, David had already been anointed to be king of Israel, but he had not taken that position yet. You see, God calls us and places an anointing upon our lives, but that doesn't mean that we're yet in that position. He is preparing us and he's grooming us to come into that position. So David was fleeing from Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him. And he had escaped him many times. And it says here afterward, when this is when David was running from Saul and he caught him, he found him where he could have killed him, and the guy said, you should kill him. It says that afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of Saul's robe. His conscience bothered him because he even touched the robe of this man that God had anointed. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. Sometimes we forget that those that God has placed in a position of leadership, God doesn't want us to touch them or to dishonor them. We let God take care of the situation. David said, God forbid that I should do such a thing. They're telling him, you should kill him. You've got him. Kill him. And he said, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. He is the anointed. You see, David had a heart for God. And that's what it takes to be in under the shelter of the Almighty, is to have him just totally possess us and to be in our minds and in our spirits. In Psalm, the 27th chapter, and David wrote a lot of these that I'm just going to go through. I think of, I'm telling you, this is what David was, why God said he was a man after his heart. Because his Psalms, over and over, he wrote about the magnificent glory and presence of God. He said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. A pavilion is a place of rest and of refreshing. Whenever we are tired and when we've been dragged down by the enemy or by things of the world, he says, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He'll set me high on a rock. Jesus is our rock, our foundation. And then he says in the 31st chapter, verses 19 and 20, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. You see, David is acknowledging that God is the one who does everything that I have need of and gives me what I need and protects me. That's what God wants us to do. That's how we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, is to acknowledge his presence and his glory. And then he says, you are my hiding place, in the 32nd chapter, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. How beautiful that is. David said, you surround me with these songs of deliverance. You lift my spirit. And he says in the 112th chapter, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. We get bad news today. We're getting it every day. How much of it is true? You know, I'll let you decide that. But David says, I'm not going to fear the bad news. I'm going to trust the Lord. My heart is going to be steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And then he says in Psalm the 17th chapter, verse 8, he said, protect me as you would protect the pupil of your eye, David says to God. Protect me, make me the apple of your eye. I remember a time I probably have told you that I walked in this bathroom several years ago in the restroom here at the church, and I was busy hurrying to get in there, wash my hands, and prepare for service. And at that time, there happened to be a mirror on the wall. I don't think there is now, but anyway, and I saw at the side my reflection, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, you see, there's the apple of my eye. You talk about self-esteem. Not I was not important, but that God revered me. I was the apple of his eye. I was the very pupil of his eye at that time. And so you are. David said, make me, O God, the one that you see and that you protect. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, he said. How we need to be hidden in God. And you remember the story that Jesus said, he said in Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 34, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. You see, sometimes the very people that are trying to bring us the truth, we destroy it and we tear them down. And that's what the people there that he came to save did. But he says, how often I have longed to gather your children together. Your children, your little ones, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. You wouldn't allow it. I think of the story that I used to tell the children, and it was a true story that I read about a farmer who went out and looked at his fields and all of his crops over to make sure everything was okay. And one day he looked, and everything was on fire. There was a huge fire. And as time passed, and he went out later to examine the damages, and he came across, and there was a little mound of something that still was smoldering. And he thought, well, what is that? And the hay, I thought, had gotten all the fire out, the haystack and everything, but here's something that looks like it's still smoldering. And he took his foot and he kicked it over, and there were 10 little fluffy chicks that ran out. It was a mother hen who had given her life to save those children. Jesus gave his life to redeem us and to save us. And a mother hen, if you stay under the wings. But then he looked later and he saw that there was one chick that didn't get under there. And it was burned to a crisp. He just saw the skeleton of it burned. We can choose not to get under that shelter. But God has provided a pavilion. He's provided protection for us. And it says here in Psalm, the 37th chapter, says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. We go to other people sometimes and we tell them our troubles, and then there's one more person that's burdened down. And I'm not saying you don't need counsel sometimes, yes. But the Lord gives the greatest counsel anybody could give. He said, the Lord shall help and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And in Isaiah, prophet there said in the 43rd chapter, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. That's what we have to remember. He said, he didn't say we'd never go through waters. He didn't say we'd never encounter fire. We encounter tribulation with trials. But he said he would be with us and they would not destroy us. They would not bring us down. They would not take us out. In 1 Samuel the chapter 30, verse 6 there, I read another account of David. And we remember that David had taken his men and he was on a mission and he left all of the people in the group there. I believe it was in Lachish, but anyway, I'm not sure. But anyway, the 6th verse says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. You see, he came back after they'd been gone, he came back and all of the women, the children, all the provisions had been stolen and taken away. And David was the leader. And the men were talking about getting rid of him. Have you ever been in a position where you said, what do I do? Everybody is against me. Well, here's where David was. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There is the key. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He had no one around him that he could counsel with. They were ready to kill him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I didn't put it down, but you can read that account in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. The Lord gave him victory. Not one was lost. He regained all the wives, the children, the flocks, everything. Because he says, God is the one who restores. And in Psalm, the 50th chapter, again, David, he says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. When the Lord blesses us, when the Lord protects us, offer to him an offering of thanksgiving. And he said, perform your vows to the Most High. I see so many times people who make a vow and they say, you know, God has delivered me. He's kept me from this situation. And I said, oh, God, if you just keep me from this, I promise you I'll do this. And then they don't fulfill it. David said, when you make a vow, when God comes to your rescue and he blesses you, he says, offer a sacrifice. First of all, thank him for it. And he says, and perform your vows and call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. There are two parts to that. I'll deliver you, but then you're going to bring glory to me. You're not going to say that it was all on account of me. I did this. But God has done it for you. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. When you do not serve the Lord and make him the Lord of your life, what right? It means you don't have that protection. You're out from under the umbrella of God's protection. You cannot claim that protection and that blessing that God has said he will give to the righteous. I'm reminded of King Saul, who assumed a right to offer a sacrifice. When Samuel didn't show up, when the prophet didn't show up when he thought he should have, he was impatient and he decided that he would go ahead and he would presume and he'd offer the sacrifice. Well, God was displeased. And the same is true with us. When we presume to be holy and we are not subject, we're not under discipline, when we are not under authority, the authority of God, then we cannot receive the blessings. Psalm, the 9th chapter, verse 10, David said, those who know your name, O Lord, put their trust in you. To know the Lord, to know his name. He is dwelling in me, and I make him the Lord of my life. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God has not forsaken us in this time when it looks like things are not going well. I do not know what the future holds. You do not know, but I do know that whatever it is, our God is still on the throne. He still is in charge. In this very trying time, let us never forget God's promises. He says in Psalm, the 46th chapter, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. We can see God at work if we'll just be still and not be frantic, running around like the fish were in chaos and they were trapped by the enemy. Be still and know that I am God. So I say to you today, those of you who are here in the congregation and those who are watching, if you have not trusted in the Lord and if you have not made him the Lord of your life, you're missing out on blessings that you cannot begin to imagine. The Lord is our source of strength. He has a secret service crew that watches out for us. He will care for you if you'll make him the Lord of your life. So I ask you today, as I pray, I ask you to just pray this prayer with me. And if you've not made him Lord of your life, or maybe you've made promises, or you said, God, if you'll just meet the need in my life, if you'll do this for me, I promise, and you have not fulfilled that promise, I'm begging you today, don't forget who is the one who has blessed you. Fulfill your vow to the Lord. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you acknowledging your glory and acknowledging that you are our source of strength. Even as David said over and over, I will trust in the Lord. He is the one who is my strength. He is the one who is always watching out for me. Lord, we recognize that sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we falter. Sometimes we sin. But we come to you today and ask you, O God, to forgive us of our sins, deliver us from the bondage of Satan, take fear from our lives, and let us trust in you, because you are truly our shadow. We want to dwell in your presence, O Lord. Let your presence be present in our minds, in our being, and we give it all to you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory. We receive it. Amen. Thank you for watching us at Living Waters Community Church. May you be blessed this week and prospered as the Lord is with you. Be blessed. Couldn't get me off. Okay. All right. Okay. Do we have any special? Anybody have something that you want to say today? That you maybe the Lord has given you a word that you would like to share? Okay, and I remind the board, the members, the men, that we'd like to meet for just a little while at the close of the service. And before we're dismissed today, Brother Bob would like to share something with you, and then he will dismiss us in prayer.
Donation to the food ministry of egg whites. They're four.
Excuse me.
Just all egg whites. They're made for making eggs without the yolks. We have plenty of them in the refrigerator in the middle building. And we'd like you, if you like those type of things, to come in and be blessed by it. We have an overflow and we'd like to share it. Trader Joe's made a donation of rice pudding, which I had a little of last night. All of this is in date, by the way. And there are little tubs of it. And we have extra of those in the refrigerator. We'd like to bless you if you could use it. You're welcome to it also. And I have a little meeting here to go to. But don't run away, and we'll open that up and bless you if you'd like. I guess you asked me to pray.
Yes, yes. Why don't we just stand as we're dismissed in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you. You're awesome. You're almighty being. The heavens and the earth declare everything that you are, and so much more, the intricateness of detail that you made everything in. You reached out and called us to yourself through your Son Jesus and what he did on the cross. You made us a part of your body, and we're all part of your body here. And we thank you for the unity and the peace that you're sowing into us and bringing us into. And I pray as we leave here today, Lord God, that we would communicate through others the spirit of you that's in us to the world around us that has no hope, that you are our hope. And we bless and thank you for all that you have done for us, that you take them in safety, protect them from the elements that are around us, Lord God, and make your name known in the hearts of others, Lord God, of what you're doing through your people now. For it is you in us and not us, Lord, that accomplishes everything. And we thank you for being able to be that vessel of honor unto you as you keep working in us and through us for your goodwill and pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus.
Hello, hello.
Nancy's going to open up the middle building for all of those who would like it. There's a box in there for Sister Maria Figueroa also, and there's some extra fruits and vegetables if they want it on the table.
Oh, yes. Remember, you just sit right here, and then you just get this here.
Recipient numerous Walmart food and so forth and so on. They're not a church. The Lighthouse is not a church. It's a focal point to bless the churches. They have 35 churches that receive food. And the food is an outrage. It's to the media, the people that seniors that don't want to get out, and people that really need food. They have indicated that vehicles that they have right now are going down. They need to purchase another vehicle. And he indicated that if the churches would consider a donation of $1,000 per church, that they could purchase another truck. Now, the Lighthouse are ministering not only to the churches, but they're ministering to the homeless. They have shower units set up. They're feeding the homeless. They're an asset, really, to the body of Christ. so.
Is this who we're working with now? I thought it was the Nazarenes.
Well, the thing of it is, the Nazarene Church, the guy that was the pastor, resigned that ministry, or pastor, and God has called him into what they call the White House to fulfill the ministry to the churches.
He's actually a mission, like a mission.
Yes.
Yes.
What he has.
Yes.
What their vision and mandate from the Lord is to help the churches to get out to the people to further the kingdom of God.
Okay.
But right now they're receiving, they have plenty of food. They have more food than they can actually take to the places where it's really needed to. And all the trucks that they have right now are already obligated, and yes, some of them need to be repaired. But he wants to go out to the places, the poor places, where no one's going right now, and minister food and minister the Lord. And that's what the purchase for the new truck is going to be able to do, is to get them out there to the outer recesses. They're not being on.
What kind of trucks are you talking about?
These are for semi-trucks.
Semi?
Right.
They go to Preston, Payson, to the church in that area. They want to reach out and
this is not for a brand new truck either. He said it'll have about 500,000 miles on it already. He said, but those are young trucks because these they keep right on going. So it's not like he's asking, because that would be a lot more money. But evidently he has a source that he can get this. So I talked
to Betty about it. She said, I can come up with $300.
She'll start calling
people. Oh yes, yes, and people respond to her, and because you know they know that it's going to go to a good cause. So she said, we can give. I've already mentioned it to them in reference to the food ministry, and I had one person that donated $5, you know, but. I just. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem
with that. We've got the funds in there. I don't know what we just lost. Because
the church is
my left. No, not this week.
The week after.
Well, then we can have a check
ready to
go.
Yeah,
what?
We can have a check ready for the next time you go.
That would be good. And the thing of it is, just make it out for $700. Betty said she's going to give $300.
We can make it out for
$1,000
and gives
$300.
Yeah.
All
right.
We'll make it out for
$1,000.
She can cover $300. That's fine. Matter of fact, okay. You know, congregation and tell everybody what I have to do.
No, it's a blessing. You're absolutely a blessing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, good.
I think it's well worth it. And you know, the thing of it is, we can do more. We don't have the help. Jerry helps.
You know what? And see, that could be a subject. Well, if it is, Josh was working on that. He's got this community service hours that he needs for more. 360 hours to test his
person.
I know, but two places.
Does he fellowship in the banquet of the church?
Yes, I'll have to get his wife was his wife. He's been taking care of her. The Lord told him to take care of her all the time because she has problems. Okay. Personalities and where things like that. Anyway, he's been taking care of her. She receives a disability check. And the father bought a home to put them into, which they make a rent payment to them and then pay the utilities and things like they normally do. And whatever's left over, they have to do stuff like that. And so he's been helping her all these years. And when she went in there, they tied up all the money, and now the bills can't get paid.
Well, I feel like I know he has a fellowship here, but he did a lot of work on the church and on the construction and the refurbishing of Bob's house over here. And I don't have a problem with it. Yeah, really that we come up with $500 toward his expenses. I think that it's, you know, I'm not really concerned about the fact that he wants to come here. I know that he did volunteer work much and he did volunteer materials.
He takes extra food
to ten families.
So I know 500 is a question. He's got a lot of bills, but I don't.
Yeah,
and then the other thing that we need to do is that I used to, we talked before about having to present to the bank sometime the fact that my husband is gone. And we have to make that, so they said we have to have a meeting. So today is the meeting that we are going to discuss that. And we have to have his mother's site on the account that we talked about on the website. And it was a good question. We didn't go ahead with it. I haven't gotten with her either. So what is your view? I know that. And as far as the other thing, too, as far as what is it in office, I have no problem at all with us getting the files again. That these are not going to come to pass.
That's terrible. I can't even shut it because if I shut it, it locks and we can't get it.
So let's get not a cheap file. I'm not saying be extravagant. It's something that is essential and that is functional. And let's just look into that and get the file cabinet so that whoever has access to that room doesn't necessarily have access to all the paperwork, but just to be.
I have no.
So do we have suggestions as to who that should be, or shall we go ahead with?
You talked about the signer?
Yes, the signer.
You haven't talked to Connie yet?
We talked to her at the time, and she said that she was fine with it.
He was in love, had
a little reservation about, you know, needing to keep some things in the podcast. Some things.
So that they're separate.
But we just need to be sure that somebody else can help.
And we have to do that for the state office, and they would want to.
According to the paper.
There's another issue. Now that we're talking about issues.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's the issue of keys. We got too many keys
We don't know
who's got keys.
Well, from my recollection, all of us have keys here.
And then this morning they didn't order the other part of it.
Edith has keys.
And then I had people during the year pieces with the little signs.
Maddie and Glenn have keys.
And they got to live at the same place the other one.
come here to help you. But right now, as far as we know,
Well, let me share something with you. This will help. I haven't checked, but I believe to my replacing door locks for many years, since we needed to have something and we didn't get a locksmith each time, I bought the ones from Kwikset that you get the key yourself. Okay, you have to have the actual key to be able to put another key in to change it. So, now I have keys from locks that we haven't used here, period. Nobody else has. And if all of these locks are Kwikset, I can go around and rekey them myself to that one key, and then I would have to take it down and get a duplicate for the amount of keys that you want to present to others and sign for.
Like I said, each person would have to sign statement for the key. Now, understand what we did is cool. So certain people don't know what they're doing. So they're only going to see you. They don't have the key for that. But a master key will cover every time you have built. I had a master key.
That would have to be done by
locksmith. Because we were blessed. We had a master key job with the people who came up to the locksmith retired.
Well, you know what?
It's
the same thing.
Because when they read the locks, they don't read like that.
Yeah, first I have to the
room. Are you saying that all the rules will be is not
that would be the only way to do it. Sanctuary in the building in the third
The master key
was fit all.
And then somebody got, then we had another key that fit all the locks. It wasn't a master key. Okay.
Except for the office, which we know about. We need to rekey all the other locks. Do you want to use locks? Do you have one key to all those locks? Or do you want me to try and rekey them based upon the fact that I've got. I can try.
I know it's going to be very expensive.
Excuse me now?
It's going to be very expensive for all.
Now, I can try and go around and do the locks myself. I have a key that's never been used over here at all because I save keys. Okay, they're not used for anything else. Because when we do it, we always put it to the key we're on now. But that key will now become obsolete, and I'll have to rekey them with a new key and then go down and make keys. I don't know how many you want me to make. And then I don't mind doing that. I'm just saying, and I'll make, I don't know how many keys you want me to make. I'll go down to Home Depot or Lowe's and have them make the keys.
My wife can tell me to see that she'll need one out in the church.
She'll need one, yeah.
Yeah, I
need all of, us here.
All of us.
Keys to the church.
Five right here.
Six. And Maggie and Glenn?
I don't know that.
I know that Glenn personally never uses a key, and they're not coming to church right now.
I don't think. I'm close to my family, they like their own kids, but I don't think they
do.
Okay, we have a total of 16. Nancy, she goes into the third building and does it. I'm not around. Sometimes I'm not around.
That's the five of us.
So what I'll do is once I read key to the new key, I will go down and get a special key that looks kind of nice because that way you can tell the difference. Because otherwise I've got a ring thing key there, and then I will present the keys to you guys to give out to you what you want to do. We will make up the paper if you want to sign. I will tell you when I repeat it. I'll see you and I'll give you a key. And I'll see you guys and I'll give you a key. And when she comes on a Sunday, I'll have to give her a key. Yes, it was.
Your ladies and
are you and Arnie Peter? You would remember, I think, earlier, or Katie and prayer. He's going to try.
We spent a summer time.
But you know what? I found a strong man from a minister. But I remember I told you that the Lord told me to go back and read my journals from a long time ago, where he was reschooling things I forgot. I didn't realize when the strong man comes in, I know what that's all about. When the Lord told me there are layers to the strong man, there's not, sometimes when you opened your door,
bless you, Joshua. Love you, brother.
So the Lord told me to keep praying and keep finding that right now because there are layers there, and she will also be opening the door. So, and then I'm loosing his love, his mercy, his healing, you know, his repentance for her to come to
him.
That's a good reason.
We were praying for the brother twin and I. We were praying for and he started to raise her hand and started praying to the Lord.
Arnold, are you going to go to these?
false promise.
Joshua says, your honor.
Like, you know, this person delivers you in the name of Jesus. If you trust in the Spirit, then you've got to come back and say, you know, and take the control. But it gets to the Lord. I was a new man in the box. Straight for her. She never was delivered. She would get you would deliver and think it and believe it's all done and go back and hear. Just call another pastor.
Mr.
Dave, but it's a
keep opening those doors.
Yes.
We have to do away with this.
I thought I drank all my water.
We're
going to go to
crack.
You know, we're having a real issue here. I'm running out of Lysol spray and I'm running out of Lysol wipes, and I have to be able to make a decision on what I can do and what I can't do.
And it's hard to buy them.
That's what I'm saying. If you guys see anything, you need to pick it up.
I look every time. It's kind of a. I do see some spray stuff that you can, you know, pump spray. Is that your water?
See you, Mom. All right, buddy. You have a blessed week.